As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Bell.
Oh, Bell. Man, wow, you're coming in real... That's some low-energy Bell right there. You doing all right, buddy?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. I'm not suffering Speed Force deficiency, much like Barry Allen. I do not have an avatar following me around all the time, though. So,
yeah, there you go. You're not a. What's the Speed Force equivalent to a mama's boy?
A forcey boy? I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, he's got some issues. I think it's safe to say, well, Barry Allen's got a little got some issues going on. We're gonna talk about it. And but man, before we can jump into that, there's a few things we got to do. First, of course, we have to thank our amazing patrons who are making this show happen over at patreon.com/TV Talk. Learn more there how you can support this podcast, because without you, there is no us. That's just a fact. So we really appreciate y'all. Also, man, we got to do it here at the top of the show. It's time for a news flash.
News flash.
All right. So the news that rocked the internet, the announcement that no one saw coming this year, maybe in years past, but nobody saw it coming. It is true that both Carlos and Tom are leaving the show. We will no longer have our various Wellses, nor our vibes. Carlos and Tom off the show, man. They're leaving after this season. What are your thoughts?
I mean, you know, I think the writing was on the wall for Carlos.
But that writing, that's old writing. you're looking at an old wall on that one.
for Kavanaugh though, he, from what I understand though, he's not like never coming back on the show. He's just not going to be a series regular.
Okay, so I don't think that I mean, the same might be the case for Carlos as well. I don't know that anybody that, you know, nobody's ever really gone unless you tweet the wrong thing. Like, I think it's very, very possible that we will see Vibe make a return at some point.
Yeah. So, I feel like there's going to be some guest spots for them coming on, like, for various different things. Like, but as far as series regular, yeah, that's done and gone.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, you know, it does... you know, I would not have believed Kavanaugh, except for the fact that we haven't seen him in forever.
Yeah.
I thought that whole he's gone was kind of a bait and switch. You know, like, we've had episodes and even stints of episodes after a Wells has passed where we have not had a Wells. And I mean, like, the way in which they concluded his storyline was very much kind of the end of the Harrison Wells characters outside of the Wells Prime character. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Oddly enough, this announcement kind of gives me a little hope that we might actually see Tom Kavanaugh before the season's over.
Yeah, you know, I'd be willing to bet that there are some complications with COVID and stuff. Maybe it was supposed to happen last season. Like last season was supposed to be his, you know,
his
big departure. But because of COVID and filming schedules and all that kind of stuff, it couldn't happen last season. So it happened this season. So, because he was on this season, maybe they'll give him, they had a send off and everything. So I don't know how they'd, you know, include it in there. It'd be kind of interesting to see how they fit that in and make it work. Although honestly, you know, if he does come back, I'd prefer it to be in like, I don't know, an Eobard kind of thing, maybe, potentially, possibly. You know, like that. That's how I'd like to see him really, you know, actually return and be right back on the show, in some kind of context such as that. Like, sure, we can have a Harry back, and we can have our, you know, our fail. Like, here's the last episode that Tom Cavanaugh will be on the Flash, and so we're gonna make a special thing about that or whatever. They can do that. That'd be fine. But like, how cool would it be if the last episode was when the Flash finally defeated Eobard for all time?
Yeah, well, we'll see. Yeah, that does kind of play into some speedster speculation that we've got for this episode. But for now, we can now officially, after years of speculating, it is in fact time for Vibe to take his bow after this season, and Tom Cavanaugh, Harrison Wells as well.
And I mean, right after they give, you know, Cisco his tech Vibe suit.
I know, like he's starting to feel like himself for the first time in forever, and now he's gone. He's not gone yet. It's going to be the end of this. I'm assuming he'll be with us until the end of the season, but after this, he will no longer be a season regular. And you know, I'm not too torn up about it. We've been saying for quite some time the cast was a little heavy, little bloated. And as much as we love Carlos, as much as we love Vibe, you know, somebody had to go. And so there you go. Anyway, well, we look forward to making sure that, and I'm sure that the series will treat his exit with grace and levity as it is well deserved. But until then, we've got a remainder of a season to cover. Belle, are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 8 of Season 7, The People vs. Killer Frost, directed by Suds Sutherland and story by
Jonathan Butler and Gabriel Garza.
Belle, what happened this episode?
Well, Team Flash detects Fuerza in Keystone City, so Barry and Nora leave to combat her, but she's not there. Barry meets Alexa Riviera, but Nora believes Alexa to be Fuerza and berates her. At Frost's trial, Kramer moves to punish Frost by having her take the metahuman cure as opposed to 10 to 20 years in prison. Caitlin is distraught by this and has her mother test if the cure would harm Frost. Cisco helps Caitlin and Allegra break into CCPD, and Allegra distracts Kramer while Caitlin neutralizes the doses of the cure. Kramer accuses Frost of ruining the metahuman cures and reveals that Argus gave her another vial. Caitlin's mom confirms that the cure won't harm Frost and urges Frost to take it, but Frost retorts that she'd lose who she is. Kramer reveals that she lost a platoon of soldiers to a deceitful metahuman and wants to set a precedent using the metahuman cure as punishment. During court, Frost expresses that forcing the cure upon someone is unjust and requests life in prison without parole instead. The judge agrees and sentences her to exactly that. Alexa reveals to the Flash that she is Fuerza and has been blacking out due to anger, which she felt when Abracadabra attacked. She agrees to run tests at Star Lab, but during the test, the Speed Force attacks her.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, man, so much to talk about in this episode. So much to talk about. The People versus Killer Frost, not the first time that we've had one of our main characters going to court, but this time it... I must say that she is guilty, guilty, guilty.
Yes. And by her own admission too. It's not like she's, you know, proclaiming her innocence. She's doing the right thing. She's like, yeah, I did those things. Okay. I need to be punished for this. So what's the punishment?
Yeah. It's like let's just get this over with. This is, you know, we've had this, you know, this process of Killer Frost dealing with, you know, the results, you know, the consequences of her actions, being prepared to it. She is very much a fully realized character. She's not just a fracture of Caitlin. She is her own character, and she is ready to kind of, in some regards, by owning the crimes that she's committed, it's also kind of an owning her humanity, right? It is owning her individuality.
Yeah.
And we see this kind of juxtaposed with Caitlin, who is just aggressively not wanting to let go. There's, you know, we need to call up the therapist. There is almost an unhealthy attachment that Caitlin has to Killer Frost at this point. And, you know, their dynamic is very interesting to be sure, But I'm a little concerned, you know, whereas before, obviously Killer Frost was the one that was kind of unhinged. To me, now it seems like Frost might be the hero and Caitlin the villain.
Yeah, there's a little codependence there that needs to be worked on.
Yeah.
Or more just Caitlin dependence.
Yeah. I will say, though, you know, obviously Frost is very upfront. She doesn't want any help. She just wants to go through the system and everything's cool. But then the second that she's out, you know, we get Team Flash ready to, you know, pull a heist. And man, you know, in seasons past, perhaps this heist would have been the entire episode. But man, we knocked this thing out quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like real quick.
I was getting some like, first of all, it was great. I thought the entire sequence was wonderful. And I really enjoyed the Killer Frost storyline in this. I was getting some, oh gosh, what was the movie with the little mini coops? They did the job in Italy. The job in Italy, man.
There's a job that they were doing in Italy.
Yeah, with cars. It was the Italian heist. That was the European heist. That's what it was.
The Italian crime? Roman crime. Heist.
Roman heist. That's the one. Roman heist. And yeah. Roman heist, man. it's the Italian job.
Yeah,
in the Italian job, specifically the remake they did. I believe, now I'm going to actually legitimately blank on somebody's name here. No, I'm not. Seth Green. Seth Green's character has that moment when they succeed. He's like, woo! Cisco had that, like, that Seth Green energy, like, woo! Got the Holy Spirit! You know?
Yeah.
Thought he was
yeah.
channeling that scene.
Yeah, they, he was very excited that it worked. But, I mean, you know, it was all for naught.
Well, okay, so let's talk about this. The argument, and I mean, here we are once again, and this always happens whenever we get Cure plot lines, but we thus return to the question of the Cure and the ethics around it. One might even argue if Cure is an appropriate, you know, name for it, if, you know, the real world had a cure such as it. But here's the thing. Cisco gave the Cure Argus or to the city? Like, I'm a little confused as to how they got access.
I mean, from what it sounds like in this episode specifically, it's that CCPD had it because I'm assuming Cisco gave it to him, and then CCPD gave it to Argus, and then Argus could go and, you know, make more of it. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's one of those things where, like, they should have Cisco and Team Flash should have held on to that themselves because of the issues, like in the whole moral dilemma and everything about, like, you know, a state agency having access to something like that. And then this very scenario happening of them forcing it on somebody who doesn't want it. Yeah. Bad idea giving the Cure to the CCPD.
Right. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like if you give somebody like a nuclear weapon and then they drop it on somebody and you're like, well, what did you do? It's like, you gave this to us. Well, I didn't think you were going to use it. Then why did you give it to us? Like, come on, Cisco, Team Flash, Star Labs. Really?
It's like we give nukes to somebody and then they just go around and start giving it to whoever. Yeah,
it's not a great situation. It's not a great situation, but it is one of these things where you got to imagine, you know, maybe. And we see a little bit of it, but maybe the weight of the Cure concept is maybe, I don't know, maybe Cisco's feeling a little bit differently than he used to. You know, obviously he would have benefited from his powers a lot in the last few years. He's essentially gone back to being a superhero, just a depowered superhero. You know, and now we legitimately have like a situation in which the Cure is being used in an unethical practice. Now, I guess I say that. Where do you stand on this? Because Frost, I thought, made a fairly compelling case as to why it's not the same as taking away weapons. But at the same time, like from a legal standpoint, you got to almost wonder if that would really hold up in court. Like, would it in fact be the case where the meta power is so much tied to the identity of the person where it is literally, you know, they would essentially become a different person by taking away their power. Is that the case, or is it more akin to taking away somebody's weapons?
No, I think, like, I don't even think that the judge should have been like, no, because bodily autonomy laws, like, would prevent them from doing anything like that.
Well, this is like federal level stuff, right? Like
bodily autonomy is federal level.
Yeah, like, exactly. But this is what I'm saying is in the show, we're not quite at that court. I mean, I realize it's a television show. We got to wrap up a storyline. But she was acting like her ruling was going to be this major ruling. And I was like, I'm pretty sure whatever you rule is going to get fought and passed up the system. Again, sure, I'm not a lawyer, but yeah.
But no, but like she was right, right? Like,
that's a precedent.
Kramer was absolutely right in that. So like if they got a judgment there and it managed to stick, then they could use that as legal precedent for future metas that, you know, that break laws. Like, yeah, that's absolutely right. Like, would it go up and you know, hold? No, absolutely not, because the bodily autonomy issue.
Right.
Like, there's the judge should have been like, no, that's like that low level of a judge would be like, no, that's violating someone's bodily autonomy. Like, that's something that she's born with. It's not something, you know, it's akin
an argument could be made if Caitlin was actually, if Frost was actually born or not. I mean, you know, if Frost is separate from Caitlin, when does Frost's birth begin? And if it was Caitlin's birth, was Caitlin actually born with the metagene, or wasn't specifically because of, you know, the test and the experimentation that were done to her? I mean, like, this, an actual court case would be very fascinating.
Yeah, but like in this instance, Caitlin and Frost are two separate people, two separate consciousnesses, right? Two separate identities completely. Sure. And now they have two separate bodies. So at that point, like, it'd be a much weirder situation if they were both still in Caitlin's body.
Well, so that's the thing. I mean, like, Caitlin's not actually being held accountable for these actions at all. Like, Killer Frost is, and I mean, part of that is just because people don't know, but I wonder if the public actually knew that Killer Frost came from Caitlin. That she is essentially, like, you know, that they were the same person when this was going down, or at least that is to say they were, you know, physically they were doing the same thing. I don't know. It gets interesting, I suppose.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like it's more of a, you know, Bruce Banner Hulk thing, where like Banner is, you know, in the passenger seat and Bruce is driving, or sorry, Banner's in the passenger seat and the Hulk is driving when he's, you know, not.
Yeah, but Banner gets held accountable for the Hulk. I mean, if you go back and read what is Ultimates Volume 1. I guess spoilers for a graphic novel from like 20 years ago. in that, they actually give Bruce the death penalty.
Yeah, but I mean,
for the Hulk's actions.
Yeah, I don't know. That's kind of odd to me. But in this particular instance, in this, you know, universe, in this case, I feel like that giving the metahuman cure wouldn't fly because of bodily autonomy. To me, it's akin to the same thing of, you know, it's not the same as taking a gun away from a felon. It's the same thing as, like, you know, cutting the hands off a thief.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, no, that's that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense from that standpoint. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I don't know. I still feel like I could push back a little bit on that, because the reality is the cure wouldn't remove anything that, like, she'd still be able to have a normal life. She wouldn't have a disabled, like, any kind of, like, disability that removing a limb would, you know, cause somebody to have.
I would disagree with that completely. Like, we don't know how important Frost's powers are to her day-to-day life.
That's true, but isn't that more about removing kind of the privilege of power rather than and kind of making her more like us, like us normal?
But it's
normies.
A part of her identity, right? Like, you know, it's like,
no,
it's
she
like,
made a compelling case, yeah.
Right, but it's okay. So then how about this? It's like lobotomizing criminals. You have a violent criminal, so you lobotomize them.
Except she wouldn't be no. It wouldn't be like that either, because she would not, again, like, this would not impact her. Like, actually, this was really interesting. I love that they clarified, because to me, initially, I thought that the notion was that she was actually going to, like, die, essentially, because of the method in which Frost came into the world, like, was, you know, separated from Caitlin, that she was so tied to the meta ability that removing it would literally kill her. And the fact they took that out really made it much more of a morally interesting question, right? Because if it was going to kill her, then it's easy to say, like, oh, no, you can't do this to her. It's going to kill her. But then it's like, nope, she would just be, you know, her, but a little, you know, less, you know, white.
I mean, I still think it's the same thing as, like, you know, lobotomizing a criminal or cutting off a criminal's hands or something like that, or, you know, like a punishment befit the crime, right? You know, kind of thing where it's like, oh, you got a peeping Tom, you gouge their eyes out. You know, it's barbaric in that kind of sense to me.
I don't know. I look here. I'll put it this way. I'm mostly just playing devil's advocate. I'm because obviously this is This is a situation that would never actually exist in the real world. But at the same time, I think it's interesting. I'm going to put it out to the listeners. What do y'all think on this? Are you with Frost in that, you know, to remove her power is akin to essentially erasing who she is? Or do you think that would actually hold up in court? Maybe you agree with her, but at the same time, you don't think it would actually hold up in court, which is probably where I kind of fall, to be honest with you. But yeah, let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear it. But I did. I really enjoyed the Frost storyline. I really enjoyed the Caitlin storyline. You know, I feel like little court drama is kind of fun from time to time, and I do. You know,
that was like the least court procedural scene of any court procedural. I mean, that's a sentencing hearing. I don't know. Like, most of the time, it's always just the trial and not the sentencing hearing. So I don't know. The sentencing hearing might be different, but it didn't feel very like official. But then again, it's a comic book show about the Flash. It's not a court procedural.
Although that
so
would be an
really
interesting
matter.
Show, like, you know, like the courtroom dramas in the DC universe, like, but like with legitimate law, like that'd be.
Holy crap. No, yeah. Stop talking about that.
CW steal our idea like they stole the Brogues.
listen,
I went back and I've now actually, because I got the HBO Max, I've watched the Harley Quinn series. It's not for everybody. I want to make sure that's very clear up front. And they stole the Brogues from us. They stole the Brogues and they gave it an R rating and they made it, you know, they didn't have to make it legally differentiated. What did we say? Contractually differentiated, legally different.
No, legally differentiated.
Yeah. They could just call them what they were. But I was like, this is legit. Like, this is the Brogues. This is an R-rated Brogues.
Nah. You see, the Brogues is doon 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 doon, and Harley Quinn is doon 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 doon. See, that's what makes a difference. Yeah, see, yeah.
All right, well, there you go. Well, our next webcomic is definitely not going to be a legal CSI Metropolis or whatever. So there you go. Yeah. Kramer, it became very clear early on that she had an axe to grind, not just with Killer Frost, but with all metas. I mean, that was part of her character pretty early on. We could capture that before this episode even occurred. But we got a little bit of a pseudo explanation as to where this is coming from. Now, my question to you, Belle, as you mentioned in kind of the description, that her platoon was all betrayed by a meta of some sort. We never get told who this meta is. And I'm wondering, is the notion that we're never supposed to know because the identity of this meta doesn't matter? Or could this be somebody that we do know? What are your thoughts?
Now, hear me out.
Okay.
This is what I want to happen. This is not what I think is going to happen, mm-hmm. but this is what I want to happen. The meta is a shapeshifter, took the form of Kramer, tricked the soldiers into following her, mm-hmm. killed them, and then is now on the loose. And we're gonna have an episode later in this series where Team Flash confronts this villain, and it's gonna be called Kramer versus Kramer.
That's great.
I mean, come on.
No, it's
the show
right
writes
there.
Itself.
That Kramer versus Kramer. Good job. Good work on that one. At first, I didn't see where you're going at first, and I was like, all right, there he is.
Yeah. Come on, the classic. It's a classic.
But legitimately, I'm wondering if this is a character that either we've met before or that we might see a post-crisis version of. Like, for example, maybe it's a meta version of Heatwave, a post-crisis meta version of Heatwave.
Or maybe it's a shapeshifter who took the form of Kramer.
Oh, man. All right, fair enough. No, but anyway, do you have a legitimate guess or speculation, that is?
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where when it comes to speculation in the show, like I like to keep everything fresh, and unless I'm watching it on TV, I don't watch the which is rare. I usually don't ever get to catch it on TV. So I usually stream it. And so I miss the next episode previews, which is like it's kind of a blessing and a curse. Mm. Like, on one aspect, like, I like watching that because, like, it gets that speculation juices flowing, which is always fun. But on the second, you know, on the other hand, it's kind of like not necessarily a spoilery kind of thing, but, like, you know, if you end up guessing it, do you feel disappointed that you guess it, or do you feel like empowered?
I always feel empowered that I guess it. I feel terrible when I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm always right. Even the times that I'm wrong.
So I don't know. I don't know. Like, I didn't see, and also episode titles can also lend clues to things like that. So certainly if there was an episode title called Kramer versus Kramer, then you would know immediately that I'm right. but I haven't looked at the episode titles for this season, so I don't know. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like it just could be like, you know, part of her story. At the end of the episode, she was saying goodbye to Joe. So it seems like she might be gone. But there could be an avenue for her to come back.
I mean, I'm thinking, because remember at the beginning of the episode, she's talking to Agent Drax. And the fact that even Agent Drax came back up makes me think we're not done with this. There's something else going on here.
Yeah. And for a brief moment, I forgot that Argus was a acronym. And so I was reading the shield on the wall. I was like, where are they?
Is
and
this
I was like,
new organization with all of its long titles. Yes.
And I was like, oh, Argus. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
No, I mean, to be fair, I did the same thing. I was sitting there like, wait, what? What is this? Oh, Argus. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Argus. Okay. That makes sense. I get it.
That tracks. But yeah, man. So yeah, I guess we'll see. Agent Drax coming back. I've asked this before. And I'm just going to throw it out there again. Is he a dude, or is he a robot, or a hologram, or an alien?
That kind of information is actually beyond your pay grade, so I can't let you know that. I'm sorry.
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it would be it's too much to kind of like. I don't know. It feels like a Chekhov's gun kind of thing where like they brought it up and are they going to use it or is it going to be just, you know, a funny bit that Sisko got to throw out? But I mean, like every time we interact with a guy, he is a freaking robot, you know, like he talks like a robot. Maybe, you know, he's the DC equivalent of life model decoy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's the shape shifting meta who killed Kramer's unit.
If that meta ever gets revealed as a shapeshifter, we'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, no, we won't.
All right. Fair enough. I don't think that he's that. I do think that he might be some sort of like automated, like, I think he might be a robot. I think he might be part of some sort of like hive mind that's actively controlling Argus. I think things are going on in Argus behind the scenes that, are perhaps not what they appear to be. That's my guess at this point. Pretty safe guess. You know, I mean, like, you know, robots taking control of the evil organization. You know, it tracks.
Yeah. It's certainly not beyond the realm of possibility. Yeah.
So, all right. So interestingly enough, this week I found the Caitlin Killer Frost storyline way more compelling than the Flash storyline.
You mean the 2.5 minutes of Flash storyline that we got in this episode?
Barry Allen also in this episode. Yeah. Okay. So I go back and forth on this like Force storyline, but where are you at it? Right. Where are you with it right now?
Well, I mean, there's a huge, you know, wrench kind of thrown into it this episode,
Is it really? Was anybody shocked by the end of this episode? Really?
No, but I mean, you know, it kind of goes in line with what I was saying, how like, you know, oh yeah, you know, the Speed Force is going to like do this to, you know, get in, gain trust with the Flash. And then she's going to betray him and it'll be just like every other time he's tried to save his mom or something about his mom. Then his mom dies.
Well, I mean, it's like we pointed out there thus far has been no villain, you know, I mean, like, you know, the current episode notwithstanding, there's been no like major cast member brought on this season as a new villain, which is just not the case. Normally we have a season long member, cast member, and that new season long cast member is a villain or connected to the villain in some form or fashion. And that hasn't been the case for anybody except for Nora. And it doesn't feel that way because Nora is a character that we're familiar with. At least the human character of Nora we're familiar with. She's been a reoccurring guest. And so having her reoccur on a weekly basis doesn't feel that off. It doesn't feel that weird. The only thing that is weird is that there's nobody else reoccurring, which adds to kind of this notion of, well, you know, if the shoe fits, if the boot fits, if the winged boot with the yellow treads,
if the lightning bolt cracks,
then it's her. But regardless, let's talk about Fuerza, because Fuerza was back this episode. We got a little bit of her background, her somewhat origin story and kind of a reveal of the human character. And I'm not going to say the name of the human character, because if you're like me, the name of the human character does things to your house during the episode that kind of throws some things off a little bit.
Yeah, so we won't say it here in case you're listening, like, you know, in your house or in your car or something like that, and it you know, causes bad things.
You know what? We're going to say the reverse of it. Axilla. How about Axilla? Does Axilla work?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right. Hey, Axilla. What time is it in Milwaukee? All right, we're good.
Okay, cool. That didn't work. Good, good.
So Axilla, man. Axilla. That's right. out of curiosity, do you have an Axilla in your house?
We do, yes.
Did Axilla activate when you were watching the episode?
No, because I was watching it in a room where there was not one present.
I got you. Yeah, this is one of those things where it's like, you know, how do you deal with this as a writer, as somebody who wants to, you know, be true to different comic book names and also utilize, you know, like is Axilla now off the table essentially?
No, I don't think it's a TV writer's responsibility at all. I think it's a responsibility of the people developing those freaking spy surveillance.
Axillas?
Yeah, devices. Cause that's the thing, right? Like, you know, you're what they're doing is they're comparing waveforms, right? Like, so they see the waveform of the word Axilla and they say, oh yeah, this is close enough to it. They must be trying to activate me. And so like, it's their responsibility when they're programming that to like look for background noise or something like that. It's in the signal with the Axilla noise in it and cancel it out and say, okay, that's from TV. Because like, that's the thing is like Xbox. When you say Xbox on, sorry for anyone who I turned on their Xbox. I like my TV, like people have said Xbox on TV or something like that, and it's never done anything with my Xbox. Hmm. What were we going with?
Axilla.
Axilla, there we go. I don't think that's the case with Axilla. I think it's different with Axilla. I think it actually does do that. But and maybe other people have had different experiences with Xbox, but like it seems that there are some companies who are better at distinguishing the origin of the trigger word than others.
The trigger word.
Yeah. So yeah, it's interesting. But you know, no. I say if you wanna name your character Axilla Xbox on, then you should be able to do that.
That's on you. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Or it'd be like Axilla Cirrus.
Iris, actually. Yes, Iris. So all right, I was thinking like it'd be interesting if they took advantage of the situation and he was like, it's like, no, come on, Axilla, you've got to buy Axilla. Immediately buy all seasons of The Flash on Amazon Prime. And she's like, what are you talking about, Barry? Axilla, do you not hear me? Axilla, buy all seasons of The Flash on Amazon Prime right now. It's the only way to stop the Strength Force. Come on, Axilla.
Hey, Axilla, buy all of the CW shows on Blu-ray. Like what are this? What's the CW? Just shut up, Axilla. Buy all of the CW shows on Amazon right now.
What's going on? We're doing a thing. We're doing a thing. Everybody knows this series is not much longer for this world. We got to get paid before it's over, Axilla. Come on.
Or you like set up insider trading?
Yeah,
you broadcast in like, you know, millions of people's homes. Buy a certain stock. Although I don't think you can buy stock over Axilla, but if you could, imagine. The market chaos you could create. There's another villain for our you know, high profile crime show about villains.
DC CSI Metropolis. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, except we couldn't do CSI Metropolis. It would have to be Metro City. Metrotham City.
Metrotham. we could do CSI Gotham.
Gotham?
Yeah. That's call it Gotham. Good. We can spell it the same. Gotham's not trademarked. We can call it Gotham. Anytime it's pronounced Gotham.
Yeah, and it's a comic, so they'd read it, and we can't control how they're not pronouncing it correctly in their minds.
Yeah.
Legal team.
All the characters say Gotham.
Bell, we could get sued by DC, and we would make we would be the story. we could write our way out.
The whole second season is just the story of our legal battle with DC Comics.
Oh, it's brilliant. Oh man! Oh, it's so good. It's so good.
Funded.
Hey, Axilla, remind me to talk to Belle about pitching season one or volume one of Gotham CSI Miami.
Whatever it's called.
No, it'd be Gotham CSI Miami.
Oh!
And it's pig.
Wait, are they all pigs?
Yes. It's like
the
it's
pig
like the
versions of the characters. Yes, yes Mel. Yes. Yes. Oh my gosh, it writes itself. Oh, wow. Yeah,
and then we'll have
okay.
Spider Pig in there so we get sued by Marvel too and Sony.
Oh, why not? Yeah. No, actually, didn't the Simpsons have Spider Pig?
That was a
Spider-Ham
legally differentiated version
so
of Spider Pig.
Yeah, if the Simpsons did it, then we could do it. That's worked for Family Guy. Why can't it work for us?
Yeah. All right. Well, we have our next project.
You think that's bad? Yeah. Absolutely. All right, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah. Axel is Fuerza.
You were saying
hey,
how
Fuerza. I'm gonna reprogram my Axel to be Fuerza.
Hey,
it'll be
go.
Great. Yeah. All right. Okay. So yes, there you go. That is what happened. Oh, one other thing that we have to talk about, somebody who was also in this episode, apparently, Snake Eye Guy.
Oh yeah, with like dude, his hair gets like crazier and crazier every season.
Yeah, it's pretty bad when you're that guy and that's your power and the craziest thing about you is your hair.
Yeah, it's like half a flock of seagulls haircut.
Yeah. A dude just like showed up to nod. Like that's all he did. He's just like smirk and nod.
No, he said like, he said everybody out there saw what you did.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a massive breakout. They're going to break Caitlyn out.
Yeah, it's going to be a whole thing.
Maybe.
It's going to
we'll
be the
see.
Frost Gang. We'll see what happens. All right. And then one last thing I wanted to mention before jumping into full-on speculation mode is the dead people thing. I realized today, as Nora's kind of like rolling around out in public, like the people of Central City, they've kind of gotten used to like dead people showing up from time to time, I guess, right? Because like Harrison Wells, we've had 30 of them, and that was a well-known, like recognizable individual who was wanted for murder. And I know they like fixed it the first time with the second Wells, but with all the like subsequent Wells, they never really addressed it. And now we got Nora, who, I mean, granted, was not as like a well-known person, but is, you know, dead. And so I don't know. There's Central City just like, oh, who's that? Oh, they died like 20 years ago. Okay, cool. Yep. That's just par for the course.
Well, okay. Do you remember what
OJ Simpson?
OJ Simpson murdered.
Okay.
OJ, Ron Goldman, that was one of them. And
what are you doing, Simpson, man? What is happening right now?
It's not Anna Nicole
okay.
Simpson. OJ Simpson's victims. Do you remember what they look like? That is the biggest murder profile or the biggest profile like murder case it's like this country's had in a very, very long time. That was the big, it's on the news everywhere. Everybody knew all the stuff that was going on with that. Do you remember what they look like?
We were kids. Does that count?
I mean, I don't know, maybe, but I guess this is more general to the audience, especially older audience members. Do you remember, like, could you, like, you close your eyes, can you picture their faces? Because this is what I'm trying to figure out. It's like, this case, Nora's death, was probably, like, you know, headlines in the newspaper, on the news for like a week and then gone.
Okay, no, Nora, granted. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, Harry, maybe a little bit longer, but like it certainly wasn't this giant national case.
If Steve Jobs murdered a dude, okay? Like, if Steve Jobs murdered some people and then died and then confessed to murder in a videotape, and then you just saw Steve Jobs, like, you know, rolling around town, you don't think that would be like people would take interest?
Yeah, but that's Steve Jobs. We're talking about Nora.
I'm talking about Harry Wells. I'm talking about both of them.
Oh, I don't know. They explained it off camera. It doesn't matter. All right. Look, my whole defense of this whole thing is that, like, you know, Nora's case wasn't as high profile, so probably people forgot what she looked like. But no, as far as, like, Harrison Wells, yeah, they did the whole pin change face a mabob thing, and that's just what he's been using for. They just never explained it again because he's just been using that. It's fine.
All right, yeah. Okay, no, fair enough. Fair enough. I just wanted to make mention of the fact that we got dead people rolling around from time to time, and that's just, you know, par for the course for Central City. But you know what else is par for the course for Central City?
Speedster speculation.
All right. Speedster speculation, my friend. This is obviously continuing on with the speculation from, you know, last time. But the end of this episode, the Speed Force is bad, is evil, turned against Team Flash? Who could have seen this coming? What?
Does that sound sincere at all?
I'm genuinely convinced that
of course we saw this coming a mile away, and I think probably everybody saw this coming a mile away. The evidence was there. But I go back to this question: who is the Speed Force really? Because even you could make an argument for the Speed Force having kind of this like lack of morals, just desire for self-preservation, except for the fact that you have to put her on par with all of the other forces that we've seen around. And none of them quite have the same sensibility that she seems to have. I would argue that the Speed Force actually is out and about somewhere and is an individual that you know, is in Central City right now and unawares that they are the Speed Force. I think that there is that kind of God coming to man, you know, or man's world type situation going on. But we have not actually seen the Speed Force out there, because we have been dealing this entire time with, yeah, that's right, I said it before, I'll say it again, that's Eobard Thawne, ladies and gentlemen. That is Eobard Thawne. And we are seeing him trying to manipulate Barry, and he's using the form of his mom because that's the most Eobard thing I can possibly think of. And that's what's up. That's what's going on.
Yeah. I mean,
why would she have needed Barry's lightning?
Well, she used her own lightning mixed with Barry's lightning to defeat it.
Why would she have needed Barry's lightning?
If
his lightning, she said it herself, like, you may be his lightning rod, but I'm his lightning. And then she gets the lightning from him and like, well, that's you, right? Right? Speed Force? Eobard? Liar? Face? Person?
I mean, I don't know. Like, she enveloped his lightning with her lightning and then threw it at what were we going with?
Uh-oh.
I'm just gonna say Fuerza.
Fuerza. Yeah.
the human form of Fuerza, because I don't want right. to set off people's devices here.
Right. Right. You know what? I got it. Let's just call it Cortana. That won't set off anybody's device.
Or Zune.
Oh man,
that's funny. maybe that's why my Xbox never gets set off, is because the trigger word is Cortana,
right? The trigger word.
So, but yeah, like I want it to be Eobard. I want that, you know, to happen, because I mean, it's very Eobard for him to use an avatar of his mother to like right. betray him again, right?
Well, and consider what we know now too, that the Kavanaugh, this is his last season. So how are you going to make this like? If you're going to make this Kavanaugh's last season, you need to do two things. One, you need to wrap up the Wells storyline. Did it. Done. Knocked it out early. Was great. Thought it was perfect. A way to wrap up all the different Wellses, set up a new one, put him in some sort of like eternal bliss. Cool. That's one thing. But Kavanaugh is not just Harrison Wells. He is also Eobard Thawne. And you cannot send this man off without having like, you know, a very Eobard-esque conclusion, or at least like epic climax to that character.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. But, you know, I mean, why does she want to defeat these other forces?
Well, he, Bell, wants to do so because he's trying to establish himself as a new force. He's trying to suck up their forces so that the negative Speed Force, which has always been kind of this, you know, kind of this
shadow.
Yeah, the shadow version of the Speed Force. He wants to get that godlike status. And so he's getting all of these other, you know, force deities and kind of using that to power up, you know, the negative Speed Force to get on their level. That's my guess. Or perhaps, maybe it takes multiple forces to kill a force. Maybe he actually wants to kill the Speed Force. Like, maybe what his goal is to get to a point where the negative Speed Force can actually exist without the Speed Force. Because right now, it's heavily dependent on the Speed Force in order to generate negative Speed Force.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, everybody saw it coming, but it still doesn't make sense to me unless you know, you wrap it with the Eobard stuff. Like, I mean, why else would the Speed Force be like jealous and trying to kill these other forces and like trying to make, it's never presented itself as, you know, inhuman and anti-heroic, you know, it's always tried to guide Barry to make the heroic decisions and the right decisions. It's never been like, no, just kill this innocent person. Don't try to help them. Just kill right. them. You know, it's never been like that. So, like, it really doesn't make me think that is the Speed Force.
It's completely out of character from what we've known from the Speed Force at this point.
Right, but you know, the Speed Force died and was resurrected. So we don't know. We don't know what, you know. Maybe this is the zombie Speed Force. I don't know.
The dead force.
Yeah, and you know, she's got all three lightnings, which is interesting. You know, you figured she would just have Barry's color lightning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But she's got red and, you know, blue, which is artificial. So it's like she's got Speed Force, negative Speed Force, and artificial connection to the Speed Force lightning, which is just really weird to me. Like, why would the Speed Force have that? Because the Speed Force doesn't generate. When Barry uses the Speed Force, it's obviously, you know, he's got the yellow. And then when Eobard, it's red. And then people who don't have a connection get blue because they don't have a connection. So, like, why would you even have blue in the first place?
Right. Yep. Yep.
It's just, I don't know. It's just bizarre. It's I don't see why she has blue or red, period.
It's a false god, man. She's a false god. I think that's what's going on. And I think she's Eobard. I think she is a he and he is Eobard.
I mean, could be.
That's my guess. Now, I mean, like, again, you could make an argument for the concept of like, well, it's a deity. And so, you know, if you go based off of kind of the Greek mythology, the deity, you know, the gods were all terrible. They were all like awful, awful, awful people, creature things. Right?
They were very much like humans, which.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. They were just as petty. Right. Yeah. Just as petty, just as cruel, just as, you know, bad as humans were.
Right. And so, you know, you could make an argument that that's what we're dealing with, kind of a moral free entity, or, you know, that is literally just going after their own survival, or perhaps, you know, a desire to be a dominant force. Maybe the Speed Force is looking for a reasoning to take control of the other forces and is manipulating Barry in that regard. But there's no out there. You know what I mean? Like, if that's actually the Speed Force, there's just no out to where you go with the Speed Force from that point, you know?
Well, yeah, because I mean, maybe it's something like these forces didn't exist before, and so the Speed Force has no idea how to coexist with them. So, you know, her only kind of reaction to it is like fear, and we have to destroy them.
Kill it! Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, especially like now that there's like these embodiments of them, right? So like, I don't know. Like, maybe, you know, we didn't have forces, and then now we do. And the only one we had was a Speed Force, and now we have all these other ones. And so it's like, Speed Force is like, well, I don't like this. This is not cool. Let's kill them all.
Everything's changing, and I don't like it.
Yeah. 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 So, I mean, I don't know. It's, yeah. The Speed Force stuff, yes, it was predictable, and yes, everyone saw it coming, but it still feels like out of left field.
I don't know. To me, it doesn't necessarily feel like out of left field. Just, you know, if it would probably feel. She's been weird this entire time. Like, she's been weird. Like, you know, you've had this on again, off again, positive, negative relationship with Iris. Like, at one point, they seemed like they were kind of bonding over their affection for Barry. And then, you know, now it's kind of like the full on, you know, versus the monster-in-law situation.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and Iris is kind of like, whoa, hold on. Because, yeah, that's the thing. Is like, you know, first it was Barry was like reluctant to be open up to her and close to her and stuff. And then and Iris was all like, yeah, no, she's great. It's wonderful. And then Barry and Iris were kind of like warmed up to her. And now both of them are like, nah, that ain't it, you know. And yeah. So, yeah, it's, but that's the thing is like, can she take away Barry's speed? If she's not going to help him, like, can she hurt him?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because I don't think she's actually the Speed Force.
Yeah, I mean, she might not actually be the Speed. Could she be another force?
I think that she's Eobard Thawne. I think she's the. I think
okay, so
Eobard
like
trying to create. All right, sorry, right. Think about the other possibilities. I got.
Yeah,
you.
Let's think of other possibilities, because I mean, obviously
there is no other possibility.
Obviously, she's Eobard, and we know that. But like, what other possibilities? Like, what red herrings could they be throwing?
Okay,
away?
Okay, fine. You want it, Mel? Here, I'll go ahead and tell you exactly what it is. She's a shapeshifter, and she's the same shapeshifter that killed Kramer's platoon, and now she's coming back to kill. And only person that can stop is not Barry, but Kramer herself. It's Kramer versus Kramer.
I allow it. Done. Fund it. Funded. Yes, absolutely correct. There is nothing wrong that you just said in that statement.
Oh man, all right, well, there you go. The force concept is just so bizarre in this context. There's a lot of cool aspects of it. I do like the whole like, you know, gods among us that don't realize like what or who they are. There was a run of Thor that was very, very much like this, where like all of the gods were living in Oklahoma or something like that.
Like you
and,
do
and it was really good.
And so, like, you know, I think that there's a lot of fun that can be had with that concept. I just don't know where it goes from here. Like, what is the point when this is all done? We're obviously not setting up a situation where we're going to have a, like, a lifetime or like some kind of like longevity in terms of our relationship with the forces, but not Team Flash won't. And I don't think we're getting into any kind of like ultra spiritual Wally-esque take on the Speed Force going forward, but I could be wrong. They've certainly gone there a little bit in the past. Yeah.
Yeah. And also, I mean, like, is Psyche dead? I don't think so. We hadn't. So, like, we know that the Slow Force, the avatar there was like, I'm going to go and be a god now. Thanks for telling me I can do that.
Still Force, but yeah.
What did I say? Slow Force?
You said the Slow Force.
That's so much better. Why call it the Still Force? Still waters run deep.
Yeah.
anyway, and Psyche, we don't know about Psyche. I think Psyche's been the avatar.
Psyche's coming back, man. Psyche, I think they've kept on referencing Psyche. I think the whole notion of like Cisco saw something with Psyche and it still has not been addressed. So I guarantee.
What if Psyche is the Speed Force? Like just psyching Barry out, manipulating Barry.
I don't think that's it. I think it could. What if Kramer's the Speed Force?
Oh, Kramer versus Kramer. Anything that results in a Kramer versus Kramer episode on The Flash, I am 100% for.
Well, I'm just trying to think of like who is a character that we know of that could be the Speed Force.
Could you imagine a Kramer versus Kramer episode on The Flash co-starring Dustin Hoffman and Meryl Streep?
I couldn't. and now that you have asked me to, it's all I can think about.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Let me get the CW executives on the phone.
Yeah, do it. They're going to steal all our ideas. Okay, thanks for the brogues, guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's your here's your whatever the opposite of a check is. Here's your invoice.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where like I'm thinking about it. It's like, yes, I want it to be Eobard because I want Eobard to come back because the Flash needs a speedster villain to really make things compelling. But I don't think it is. I mean, here's how it makes sense, right? Like these are like mini villains, right? We defeat all the mini villain forces. We find out what's wrong with the Speed Force and everything's back to normal except. Dun, dun, dun. Eobard was released, right? And so now we fight Eobard for the rest of the season.
I mean, that's literally what they did with the Cicada storyline. So I don't know that we're going to necessarily do it. Now we fight Eobard for the rest of the season. I think it'll just be revealed at the end that it was Eobard all along.
Wink at the camera.
Yep. I think so.
And then season 8, which is could potentially be the last season.
Right.
No. Did they renew?
Bell.
What?
What if Nora's the Speed Force? Wait. No. Hang on. I know what that sounded like. What if like kid Nora? What if Barry? What if the
Barry's
Speed
daughter
Force?
Nora.
Yeah. 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 Okay. So, we don't talk about spoilers on this show. So.
you know spoilers.
Yeah.
Well, are you talking about that? That was news, wasn't it?
That was news. Okay,
it's casting news. You could probably
we talk about casting news all the time.
Yeah, you could probably construe it. I mean, we just talked about casting news.
Okay, yes. All right, so Nora's coming back. Okay, all right, we know that Nora's coming back for episode 150. What if the Speed Force, the real Speed Force, is Nora and like young Nora and like Nora West Allen? And the Speed Force actually resurrected her to be the new avatar of the Speed Force.
That could be interesting.
Because for one thing, she needs to be able to come back. She's been erased from time. You would need some sort of like deity type of intervention in order to make that happen. And also it would give kind of that, you know, that would be great because that would give the opportunity for Nora to take down Eobard, the man that killed her and her grandmother.
Yeah, but like, what about this? In that same casting news that you're talking about, right? We got Nora coming back. We have Jordan Fisher playing Bart. So what about this? Okay, so Nora was erased from existence, right? Where she was an only child. What if now she's not an only child because we have Bart as her twin? And so therefore, that timeline that she was erased from doesn't even exist anymore because it doesn't. And now there's this new timeline where she's a twin and she comes back with a twin brother, fraternal twin brother.
Possible. I mean, like, I think that's the most likely scenario that's actually going to happen.
Yeah.
But I would just, I don't know. I would love the opportunity for
her to show up and be part of kind of the taking out of Eobard Thawne. I feel like her story kind of demands it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, like we kind of need that justice for Nora, for both Noras, right? And it's also poetic because it's her name, it's her grandmother's name. There's a lot going on there. And so you wanted Kramer versus Kramer? Belle, I propose to you that this season is going to give us Nora versus Nora. There you go.
Hey, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
All right. Well, good deal. Well, those are our thoughts on the episode. We'd love to hear from you. Send in your thoughts on the show over at flash@podastery.com. That's podastry. You can also follow us at Flash TV Talk. You can follow Belle at Ring That Bell. Yeah, it's not our normal sign-off, but you know what? My kids are our swim team now, and I got to roll. So we're going to have to call it right here. But don't worry. We'll be back in a flash.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.